This week's Parsha is Parsha's Bereshis. We will begin on page 8.
That's where we can understand something.
Okay. So, at this point of the Parsha, we're on day 6 of creation. And this is Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavav, chapter 1, verse 26. Vayemer Lekim. And God said, Nasa Adam Betzalmenu Kidmusenu. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. V'yerdu b'dgas hayam of oif hashamayim. They shall rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky. U'babehem over animals of v'chol ha'aretz and over all the land. U'v'chol ha'remes ha'remes ala aretz and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So Rashi points out that the wording that Hashem uses is Nasa, let us make. Who's the us? Hashem is the one and only creator. Who's the us that he's addressing? So Rashi tells us, this is the top Rashi in the right column, we learn from here Hashem's humility. Man is, in a similar way, is similar to the angels. And they will be jealous of him. And therefore, he basically asked them, let us make. So to speak, he went and he asked their permission. And we also find other times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges, he asks his Pamal, he asks his armies of angels above. Okay, so basically, Rashi is telling us that not to say that there was Hashem had a partner in any kind of creation. There was no partner in creation. And Rashi points out that if you actually look in the next Rashi heading, Nasa Adam, let us make man. Although the angels did not help in any way the formation of man, and therefore now people who would challenge the basic tenets of Judaism about Hashem being the only creator, with this wording, would have a chance to start stirring up some trouble. The Torah still did not refrain from teaching us proper etiquette and humility, that the greater one, meaning the person who really has the power to do, still goes and asks permission from the younger one. Okay? The imkas of Esa Adam, if the scripture would have just said that Hashem says, I will make man, we would not be able to learn this lesson, because at that point he wouldn't be speaking with his court of angels, but rather just with himself. And the truth is, the response to such a claim that Hashem was not the only creator, the response to that is written right after. Because the Pasuk says, Vayivra Esa Adam. He created man, Vaykasa Vayivra, and doesn't say, and they created. So basically, what's happening here is that the wording, when Hashem is basically bringing up the idea of creating man, the wording is in plural, because he is, so to speak, asking permission from the angels. If anyone is going to try to claim and say, oh, look, it says we will make, that means Hashem is not only a creator, he's a partner in the creation of the world. The answer to that comes from the fact that when the Torah describes in Pasuk Chavzai in verse 26, the actual creation of man, it says, Vayivra Elohim, and God created in singular form. It doesn't say Vayivra when they created. So you see, the actual creation was only done by Hashem, while the idea to do it was something that he discussed, that he discussed with the angels. So from the way that Rashi presents this, Rashi calls it derech eretz midas anava. It's humility, because Hashem clearly doesn't need to ask their permission. Everything is in his control. So it's an act of humility on his part to ask them. And asking them, he says, is a act of derech eretz. It's a proper etiquette. It's menschlichkeit. It's a proper thing to do. That basically, to go ahead and ask permission from someone who you don't really need permission from, to make them comfortable with what's going on.
At what stage were the angels created?
Second day. Mm-hmm. Now, So I've always understood this Rashi that, and I think the way Rashi words read is that it really was, again, Rashi was, so to speak, Hashem was asking them permission. He didn't need to ask them permission, but he did. And he did so to teach us a lesson that even when you are, when you have the control to make a decision, you should still ask others that really have to make a decision anyway, but you should still ask others permission, so to speak.
Put the 2 cents worth in.
Well, it's interesting because, and Rashi says the reason why Hashem had to do it was because there could be a certain level of jealousy on the angels' part, because here it's going to be crazy, it's going to create man. Man is similar to the angels, and according to many commentaries, man is essentially greater than an angel. And therefore, there could be a cause of jealousy of sorts, and therefore, Hashem asks them permission. So to me, I always understood it as asking permission. Just basically asking permission, so to speak. I don't need your permission, but I ask you anyway.
Couldn't it be just that he's letting them know what he's going to do?
But it says more. He's letting them
know. Put him in the loop.
When you say putting him in the loop, in what way?
That this is what he's going to do, we'll all do it together.
Well, the question is what do it together means. What is together? I mean, at the end,
the plan that I'm going to do.
Clearly, it's part of the plan, but Rashi's wording is also asking permission. That's the wording. Because it's more like, I can let you in on it and basically say, this is what's going to happen, like it or not.
Yeah.
Or I can ask you permission, right? In a sense, I humbly ask you permission so that you should feel more comfortable with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Richie added the words, let them have 2 cents. Let them put in their 2 cents. Cool. Which means that it would mean here, and it is what it could mean. I don't know if it has to mean this, but it definitely could mean this, and I did see this today, that in asking them permission, right, it's not just, do you agree to this? Would you agree to this?
Yeah.
Actually, when Hashem is saying to him, would you agree to it? So why do I need your agreement? Because you can stop me, and therefore I'm asking you to agree. It's as if you could stop me, so I want to ask your permission. Or is it a little bit more than that? Is it also really like including them in the plan? Not just I'm letting you know in the plan, I'm including you in the plan. Let's make man, right? Let's have some input here. Let's have some input from everybody. And there is interesting midrashim that talk about how there was a whole discussion between the angels and Hashem about to make, not to make, to create man, not to create man. Is it worth creating man? Is it not worth creating man? And clearly from the midrashim, there is this idea that there was more than just permission. There was input, right? Hashem asked them for their input. And part of that humility on his part is to ask them for their input. That's part of the lesson. Part of the lesson would be that even if I don't need your input, I can really do this all on my own. Der Cheretz, Menschlichkeit, these are common, respect would be that, I ask you also to be involved, I ask you for your input. And when that lesson comes, that Hashem asks them for their input, we are talking about the person who has all the control, all the power, asking from a less powerful or less capable person for their involvement. It could be a level of, again, making the person feel good, making the person feel comfortable. But at the same time, it could also be a lesson in that Hashem is trying to teach us, not by Hashem it was relevant to that, but Hashem is teaching us that even when we, again, seemingly have the ability to do it on our own, we have the power, the permission, the control, the ability to do it on our own, we should be including even people who seem to be less capable than us, because at the end of the day, there is always something that we can learn from someone else. No matter how much we perceive ourselves as the one who's, we know how to do this on our own, there is a certain humility and menschlichkeit to include others who it's relevant to actually include them in the process, because again, it makes them feel comfortable with it. Number two, there's also what to gain from it itself. Because there's always an input, there's always an idea that someone can give you. As much as you think that you know and are capable of doing it on your own, by including other people, there's always something that you could, there's always something you can gain from it.
If we go back a little, God doesn't ask permission about the chayas.
Ah, so Richard bring up a good point.
I don't know.
Richard bring up a good point. The point is like this, that if Hashem wanted to just basically ask the angels to basically, you know, teach us a lesson of humility, why did he wait for the sixth day? The angels were already created the second day. He could have included them on the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. For a third, fourth, and fifth. Why did he wait for the sixth day to do it? Now Rashi really answers this question. Because Rashi says the problem is the angels will be jealous of him. The angels are going to be jealous of the cows or the fish. There was an issue with man.
Therefore,
because of the problem of this jealousy, that would be the problem. But I did see this question asked, and could be, again, it's based on the way the Midrashim bring down, or other sources bring down this whole idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu showing humility and asking of others, asking other for their input, that again, why did he wait now to do it? Why didn't he do it before? So the answer that I saw was, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited now to ask the angels, because what he really wanted to do is, basically, if Hashem, when man is created, that's when Hashem asks for the input of the angels. That's when he teaches this lesson of bringing other people in, because there's always what to learn from other people. Hashem wanted that to be part of the creation of man. He wanted that to be part of the creation of man, because man, in order for man to reach their potential, man needs to learn this lesson. This lesson of no matter who you are, always trying to learn from others and take from others and grow from others, because there's always place to grow from others. That was a lesson that Hashem wanted it to become part of the creation of man. It was brought out now. Hashem asked the angels now, as Rashi says, to bring out this lesson of asking others, of including others. He waited now by the creation of man to do it, because he wanted it to be part of the creation of man. He wanted this idea to be part of what man is. That man, to be a mensch, to be a person, is someone that's not going to be arrogant, but someone that's going to be humble. That's someone that's going to be respectful. That's someone that's going to be willing to listen to people that are even smaller than him. Whatever lesson that you learn from here, whatever lesson of Derech Eretz that Hashem wants to be taught here, he wanted it to be taught by the creation of man, because he wants it to be part of the creation of man. And that it should be understood that for man to be man, he needs these kinds of lessons of how to respect others, how to treat others, and to learn from others. Okay. Let's now turn to page 16. Page 16, this is Perek Gimel, Pasuk Ches, verse 8, three lines from the top. So at this point, Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, have eaten from the tree of knowledge. God gave man one mitzvah, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, and they ate. Vayishmu es kol Hashem elokim es alech bagon l'ruach hayoyim. They heard the voice of Hashem, going through the garden toward evening. Man and his wife hid from being before God amongst the trees of the garden. Hashem called out to Adam. He said to him, "Where are you?" Rashi says this was the way that he didn't want to come suddenly onto Adam. He wanted to work his way, make him more comfortable, kind of not to shock him. So Adam responded, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I am naked, and therefore I hid. So Hashem said back to Adam, who told you that you're naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now again, all this was all part of Hashem kind of working his way in, not coming on too strong to Adam Rishon, but working his way to bring him to realize what he did. Vayomer Adam, so the man said, Ha'isha asher nasati imadi, the woman that you gave me, he nasta li min ha'etz v'ochel, she gave me from the tree and I ate. So what was I? But so Hashem said to him, "Did you eat from the tree?"
Yeah.
And what did he say? "The woman that you gave me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." He didn't say, "Yes, I ate," but it seems like he right away kind of pushed the responsibility onto her. "Did you eat from it?" He didn't say yes. He said, "The woman who you the woman that you gave me, God, she gave it to me, and I ate."
Look what your son did.
Basic. That's what it sounds like. So the Aruch Chaim, coming to the Aruch Chaim, says, like, this is, you know, Adam Harishon, the very first man, right, was a supreme human being. He was not just this low life that he's going to just throw his wife under the bus like that. He says he says you can't learn that way. There's got to be something more going on here. Got to be something more. When he did it, though, was he just throwing her under the bus, or something more going on? So the Aruch Chaim says like this, right? It's a really interesting point. And he says that when Adam was responding to Hashem, he was basically saying to like this, you know, basically saying, when your wife gives you dinner, right? Do you need to ask her, is it kosher? You have to ask her, is it kosher? No, you don't have to ask her, is it kosher? You're allowed to believe that it's kosher. What's the question? As long as you have reason to trust her and she's all right, you don't got to ask her. She brings you a piece of chicken. Is it shechted?
Yeah.
Which brand is it? Which hashgach is it? Yeah. You know. Do you have witnesses that you bought it from the kosher? I mean, you don't need that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. So says the Aruch Chaim that what Adam Harishon said to Hashem was that, look, basically, he was explaining himself. He was saying, he didn't know where it was from. The Aruch Chaim wants to learn that when she gave him the fruit and he ate from it, he did not know what she was bringing him. She didn't know where it came from. From his point, it could have come from any tree. There were lots of trees in Gan Eden. There were lots of places to get a fruit from Gan Eden. Didn't need to go ahead and didn't have to be from the Eitz Hadas. And actually, according to the Aruch Chaim, when Adam ate from the fruit, he didn't know it was from the Eitz Hadas. He didn't know. Okay? His wife brought it to him, and he ate. He's not obligated to go ahead and ask her, because, you know, there's plenty of trees around for her to take from. And when he said, "The woman that you gave me," he wasn't trying to... And when he said to Hashem, "The woman that you gave me," basically saying to Hashem, "The woman that you gave me, that was supposed to be Ezer Kenegdai, a help, I have to suspect her that she's going to be something wrong? You gave me this woman. You created this woman for me. This is a great and holy woman. I have to suspect she's giving me something wrong?" So really, what he was going ahead and saying to Hashem was that basically, you know, I didn't know. This is a fine woman you've given me, and I have no reason. And you gave me this woman. It's not like I went ahead and found her somewhere. You gave me this woman. She's a special holy woman. Is there any reason why I have to go ahead and actually suspect her that what she gave me was wrong? Okay. Therefore, says the Aruch Chaim, that Adam Harishon is definitely what we call a shogeg, unintentional. He's not intentional, he's definitely unintentional.
Because he didn't know.
He even wants to say, maybe he's more than just unintentional. Maybe he's called Einus, it was beyond his control. Because again, there was no reason why he had to go ahead and suspect her of doing something wrong. So it's completely out of his control what happened. And therefore Hashem says that much his response was true and helped, because at the end of the day, when Hashem punishes the snake, okay, so he punishes the snake by basically cursing the snake. And when it talks to man, basically all he says is the land will be cursed. That's what he says to him. What's your punishment? Your punishment is that the land will be cursed. Now you're going to have to work very hard to produce from the land. He wasn't cursed. The land was cursed. He wasn't cursed. Nothing happened to in essence, he wasn't cursed, he lost eternal life. I mean, they all lost that. But when it comes to the other things, you know, the snake goes on the ground. The woman has pains of pregnancy. You know, there was nothing about the man himself besides that he has to work harder now. Because he actually says, Darach Hayim, he had a good claim. He had a good claim. It was beyond my control. It was beyond my control. At the same time, though, says Darach Hayim in one place, that we do know that why did Chava think, why did Eve think, why did she fall for what the snake said to her? When the snake said to her to eat, she knew she wasn't allowed to eat, so how did she fall for it? So the Mefarshim say, I think Rashi brings it down also, that Chava said to the snake, we can't eat and we can't touch it. Which Hashem never told Admisha not to touch it. He told her not to touch it. He told her not to touch it also as precautionary measure. So although, again, he meant well with that, but he did more than he was supposed to. That what he did, going more than he was supposed to, actually now made Chava think that you're not allowed to touch it either. All the consequences of eating come from touching. So when the snake pushed her, that she touched the tree, and nothing happened to her, then she already started thinking that, you know, maybe things are different. You know, maybe we don't understand what's really going on here. So therefore, one thing that Darach Hayim says that Adam would be responsible for was for, so to speak, doing more than he needed to. Even though, again, there were good intentions, he did more than he needed to. In a different place, because later on when Hashem does speak to Adam, he says, because you ate, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree. That he doesn't explain it a lot, but he says that Adam still should have asked her. After everything said and done, when she brought him the fruit from the tree, he should have asked her. He shouldn't have just relied on her, he should have asked her. Doesn't really explain why, or I didn't see the explanation. But at the end of the day, he claims that he didn't have to ask her, and according to the letter of the law, he didn't have to ask her, but he still should have.
She fell from, we call it, she fell from grace. As soon as she ate it, she fell from grace. And he saw that, you know.
Perhaps, okay, perhaps.
He couldn't live with her by.
I don't know if that would work with Darach Hayim, but that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. You know, maybe it has something to do with that. Maybe he should have noticed something about her that was different. Maybe that's the shot. But at the end of the day, Adam still was held responsible, right? He may have been not worthy of the severe punishment that he could have been worthy of, that he could have deserved, but because of the fact that, again, he did have this claim that it was beyond his control, therefore, you know, therefore, in some degree, he wasn't punished as harsh. So therefore, what comes out now is that Adam is not just, you know, throwing her under the bus. He's not trying to throw her under the bus. He's really trying to, you know, explain to the Rabbi Nisham. The Rabbi Nisham says, did you eat from the tree? And he says, look, I had every reason to think I could. I had every reason to think that I could. He really was trying to justify himself. I mean, he realized that something was wrong. Right away, once he realized that he was naked, he knew something was wrong, something had changed, something was wrong. But now the point was that he was seemingly trying to explain himself. You know, he did something wrong. Hashem now is seemingly like entering a conversation with him. Did you eat from the tree? Of course Hashem knows if he ate from the tree. But it seems like Hashem is giving him some kind of a place for discussion. So he responds and he says, look, it was beyond my control. I'm supposed to suspect her that what she's giving me is something wrong? Okay. At the same time, the Sefornu seems to be saying very similar to the Darach Hayim when he says that when Adam Arishan says, the woman that you gave me, she, so he points out, she, Shanasata Oisa La Aza Lahayo, this woman that you gave me to be to be an aid to me, to support me, to help me. Nasli ben eight, she gave me from the tree. Says the Sefornu, Vaisa Lamikshal, and it became a stumbling block. Ubezayichas Ashmasa Lakainai. The Sefornu says, Adarisha now put the blame on the Rabbeinu Shalom. The woman that you gave me to be help, she messed me up. She messed me up. Tumuras Hachua Shaisaruyaloi. Instead, this is what he responded, a set of the proper response that he should have said, which was, Kumeshaasa David Ba'amrai Al Nasam Khatasi. Like when King David said, I sinned. Meaning that in the story of David and Bathsheba, where David had done something inappropriate, as we've mentioned, he didn't halachically do something wrong, but he did something inappropriate. the Nasan Anavi came to him and basically told him that he did wrong. And what was his response? Chatasi, I sinned. So Adam Arishan didn't do that. Now, I would suggest in the Sefornu is could very well mean the same thing that the Aruch Chaim says, which is, again, that Adam Arishan is not, when he is responding to this, again, he's not directly trying to put the blame on Hashem. His response is like the Aruch Chaim says. You gave me this woman to help me. I had no reason to suspect her. I had no reason to suspect her. The problem is, though, that that shouldn't have been Adam Arishan's first thing to say. The first thing to say should have been, Chatasi, I did wrong. You want to explain afterwards? You want to try to stand up for yourself in some way? Want to advocate for yourself? Advocate. But that shouldn't be the first thing. The first thing should be, Chatasi, I sinned. When Hashem came to him and said, did you eat from the tree? Which again, Hashem is giving Adam Arishan a chance to respond in some way. It's almost like a new challenge. It's another challenge. What's Adam Arishan going to respond when Hashem says, did you eat from the tree? What's he going to respond? Is he going to respond, yeah, I messed up? Or is he going to right away try to advocate for himself? And again, he had a right to advocate. And his advocating for himself was not wrong. But it wasn't the right thing to do right away. The right thing to do right away was to say Chatasi. And if he didn't do that right away, then to some degree he was laying the blame on Hashem. To some degree. Again, he's not doing it like we try to blame other people. But the mere fact that he wasn't ready to say right away, I was wrong, although again, he's just trying to, so to speak, advocate on his own behalf, that, so to speak, that's a indirect way of putting the blame on Hashem. Not taking the blame on yourself, but justifying it because of the woman that you gave me, just justifying it right away, not admitting to being wrong, means deep down to some degree he was blaming Hashem. Was blaming Hashem. Because if he didn't mean to blame Hashem, he only meant to advocate for himself, then he would have admitted he was wrong, and then he could have advocated for himself. The fact that that was the first thing that he did, that's where we see that there was something lacking in what he was trying to do.
What did God make this tree for in the first place?
That was the one mitzvah that he had. The one thing that he had to do, the one thing that he had free will about, and the one thing that he just needed to do to practice the proper free will, that one thing that he could have done, would have, if he would have done it, says the Baruch Hashem, the world would have been perfect. The world would have been perfect. And he would have and there would have been, according to the Baruch Hashem, Adam Arishan would have had a life with Chava, he would have had more children, their children would have had children. There would have been a world. It's not like there wouldn't have been anything. There would have been a world. But it would have been a world that would have been perfected, would have been perfect. And now, instead, it would, or a world that would have come to its perfection in a quicker way. While now, it becomes a whole balagan, a whole
business.
Here we are. It becomes a much more difficult path to bring the world to its final point of perfection, the way that Hashem, the way that Hashem wants. Okay. Now, one last thought, and that is that after Hashem told the snake, the woman, and Adam about what's going to happen to them, it says, "Vayas Hashem Elokim lo Adam lo Ishtei Kasnais Ar Vayal Bishem." Hashem made for Adam and his wife garments of skin, and he dressed them. Basically, you know, now after sin, after eating from the tree of knowledge, after evil becoming part of them, they needed to be clothed. They couldn't walk around without clothing. But who gave them the clothing? Hashem. So the Chacham, our sages say, the Medrash says that the Torah starts with kindness and it ends with kindness. It starts with kindness here when Hashem dresses Adam and Chava. They have no clothing. Who gives them the clothing that they need? Hashem. That's a chesed. That's a kindness. The Torah starts with chesed. The Torah ends with chesed. It ends with an act of kindness. What is the act of kindness at the end of the Torah that we just read? That Hashem buried Moshe. When Moshe died, who buried him? Hashem buried him. So we have the beginning of the Torah, Hashem does a kindness, and at the end of the Torah, Hashem does a kindness. Which means that if the Torah starts with kindness and ends with kindness, that means everything in between is also about kindness. The whole theme of the Torah is kindness. So I just want to share with you an interesting thought that I heard from heard on a shiur from Rav Nissen Kaplan. He's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. He points out like this. If you think about this kindness that Hashem did for Adam and Chava, really, he shouldn't have to have done it. Right? The only reason they needed this kindness was because they did something wrong. They're from the tree of knowledge. If you wouldn't have eaten from the tree of knowledge, they wouldn't have needed this. So basically, they dug for themselves a hole. They put themselves in this position. And one might think that when a person, you know, puts them, it's their own fault, right, that they find themselves in their difficult situation, you know, you might want to say to them, you brought it on yourself. You take care of it. When you go ahead and you mess up and you make a, you mess up, and you bring all these problems upon yourself. I got to go clean it up for you. I got to help you. You mess it up, you're bringing it upon yourself. Take care of yourself. Hashem didn't say that to Adam and Rishon. Didn't say it for Adam and Chava. You brought it on yourselves, so you take care of it. Even so, he went ahead and did a he did that chesed, that kindness that our sages describe by giving them the clothing that they need, and he did that kindness to them, even though they brought it on themselves by messing up. Which means that our mitzvah to do a chesed for someone can even be when they bring the problem upon themselves. Maybe you have to make sure that by doing the kindness to them, they don't get worse. You know, sometimes when a person has a problem and you keep kind of helping them, you're just feeding the problem. But when that's not the situation, or when that's not a consideration, just the fact that they brought this problem upon themselves doesn't mean that that's a reason not to do a kindness for them. So one time I heard a very nice story from a lecturing by Rabbi Yisachar Friend. He talks about a man in Baltimore whose friend's daughter, he had a friend in New York, and the daughter got and his daughter his friend's daughter became engaged, and they were going to have an engagement party in New York. So this man in Baltimore decided that he's going to the party, which is a little bit strange that he should schlep all the way from Baltimore to New York just for what we call a vart, just for an engagement party. But he wanted to do it, and he asked his son-in-law to come along with him. Son-in-law agreed. And while they're driving, the son-in-law turns to his father-in-law and says, tell me, why are you doing this? Why are you schlepping, making this whole trip for this engagement party? He says, I'll tell you. I know my friend needs help. He needs monetary help to be able. He needs money to help make the wedding. So I'm going now to this party to hand him the check. So his son-in-law said to him, you have to hand him the check? What's wrong with the U.S. Postal Service? So he said to him, I know my friend. I know right now the thought about paying the wedding is bothering him so much that he will not be able to enjoy this engagement party because he's already worried about how he's going to pay for the wedding. So I want to go now to put that check in his hand so that he will be able to enjoy his daughter's engagement. Now you might say to yourself, right, you know, this guy has a mishigas. He can't even enjoy his daughter's engagement party. He has to be so worried about the wedding now. Okay, worry after the engagement party. Enjoy. It's a simcha. It's a new, fresh simcha. Enjoy it. You know, this guy has a mishigas that he can't enjoy it. And right away, he's so worried right now, he can't enjoy it. I mean, you might say to yourself, the guy's bringing on himself what he shouldn't be doing. He shouldn't be that way. It didn't matter to this person because he knew this is the way he was, this is the way he was going to be, and that he wanted to help him. Again, even if, let's say, a person is in need, and he's in need because he didn't do the right thing or he's not doing the right thing, he's bringing this problem upon himself and not for a good reason, that doesn't necessarily exempt us from doing the chesed of helping out that person.